Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study Melachim Bey's Perek Yud Ches, Chapter 18. And now, like a long-awaited guest, we have been waiting for this moment since perhaps Perek Aleph, Chapter 1 of our Sefer. Finally, we meet Chizkiyahu. After so many disappointments and so many false starts, so many could-have-beens and almost greats, we have been waiting for him, and we will not be disappointed. Our chapter tells us in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayas hayashar be'enei Hashem, kechol asher asa David aviv. And he did good, right, in the eyes of Hashem, like all that David his father had done. Let's not miss that. He is being compared to David HaMelech. And in verse 4, he gets rid of the idols, but also finally those private altars that have been such a persistent problem. And there's an interesting detail here. He broke into pieces the Nachash HaNechoshes, the copper serpent that Moshe had made. Remember that Nachash HaNechoshes? That amazing symbol of Hashem's power over health and disease, of life and death, that Moshe Rabbeinu had fashioned to teach B'nai Yisrael not to fear snakes, to recognize that it is sin that kills, and teshuva that heals, that only Hashem is in charge. Well, sadly, we find out that over the years, they had actually begun worshipping this copper snake. So Chizkiyahu destroys it and also renames it Nechushtan. That added suffix to kind of rename it as little cute, unimportant, not powerful snake. Chizkiyahu teaches us here that it is not enough not to serve pagan gods, and it is not enough even to destroy the idols. We need to do the inner work of redefining it as unimportant. As long as it is powerful in our own minds, we will not cure ourselves and immune ourselves of the power it holds over us. In verse 5, Bahashem Elokei Yisrael Batach, Va'acharav lo haya kamohu, bechol malchei Yehuda, va'asher hayu lefanav. In Hashem, the God of Israel, he trusted, and after him, there was none like him amongst all the kings of Yehuda and all those who came before him. And in verse 6, Vayidbak b'Hashem lo sar me'acharav, Vayishmor mitzvosav asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. And he clung to Hashem, he did not turn away from him, and he guarded his commandments that Hashem had commanded Moshe. And in verse 7, Vahaya Hashem imo, Bechol asher yete yaskil, Vayimrod b'melech Ashur v'lo avado. And Hashem was with him, he was successful in all his endeavors, and he rebelled against the king of Ashur. Let's just pause for a moment to talk about two emerging ideas. Firstly, although Chizkiyahu will be exceptional in so many ways, what we will observe most clearly is his bitachon, his complete reliance on Hashem, his complete understanding that Hashem is absolutely in control of everything in the world and of every aspect, every detail of his life. And the words in Pasuk Vav, he clings to Hashem. Like a child clinging to his parent's hand, Chizkiyahu faces every situation as this child, fully cognizant of the danger he may be facing, but knowing so deeply and experientially that he is holding his father's hand. And in verse 7, he is successful. We need to underline this, that in our Sefer, so many times, those who chose well, those who stayed with Hashem, like Yehoshaphat, like Yoash before he changed, like Azariah, like Yosam, actually, they were clearly and openly rewarded for their behavior and their choices. Hashem was with them, and they were financially, successfully, and politically and militarily powerful. And those who didn't, like Yehoahaz, like Yehoram, like Ahaziah and Ahaz, they suffered tremendously with famine, with enemies, with rebellions and assassinations. You are rewarded for the way you live. So in verse 8, he conquered the Plishtim. And our chapter reminds us in verses 9 to 11 that while Chizkiyahu was experiencing this success and peaceful reign, his counterparts in Shomron were being decimated and exiled. Verse 12, and Alasher lo shamu b'kol Hashem Elokeihem v'ya'avru es briso es kol asher tziva Moshe eved Hashem v'lo shamu v'lo asu This all happened because the people of Shomron did not listen to the voice of Hashem, their God, and they walked away from the covenant, all that Moshe, the servant of Hashem, had commanded. They did not listen, and they did not do. Again, it matters what we do, how we choose, and the clearest evidence of this is in our chapter. But all of this seems to change in verse 13. In the 14th year of Chizkiyahu, Sanherib, again, maybe a new king, or like the Gemara says, all those kings of Assyria, Ashur, were Sanherib, and now he is called by this name, he rises and captures cities of Yehuda. In verse 14, Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, sends an urgent message to the king of Ashur saying, Chatasi, I have sinned. I won't rebel anymore. I will take any penalty, any fine you demand. Just please leave us alone. And the king of Ashur fined him 300 silver talents and 30 talents of gold. Chizkiyahu paid it. In verse 16, he took silver from the Beis HaMikdash and from his own palace. And he even stripped the doors and posts of the Beis HaMikdash that he, in his love of the Beis HaMikdash, had overlaid. In fact, in Divrei HaYamim, it talks about all the repair work that Chizkiyahu had done, restoration and renovation, repurification, after the damage his father Ahaz had wrought. How sad it must have been for Chizkiyahu to, with his own hands, undo some of the work he had done. In fact, the Mishnah tells us that this was one of the three controversial decisions that Chizkiyahu had made without the endorsement of the Chachamim. And the commentaries on the Mishnah explain that by the standard of bitachon, trust, that Chizkiyahu had reached, this step of stripping the walls of the Beis HaMikdash to pay the king of Ashur was too much. He should not have done that. Anyways, it didn't work. In verse 17, Sanherib sends three military men, Tartan, Rav Saris, and Rav Shakeh. But we will see that it is all going to be Rav Shakeh doing the talking. And he sends a huge army with them, with a message for Chizkiyahu. And in verse 18, Chizkiyahu sends out his three ministers, Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, Shevna, and Yoach, to listen to the message. And the message is a frightening one. In fact, that was the point. Psychological warfare is perhaps the most effective of all tactics, and every word uttered here was intended to weaken morale. So, what follows is a litany of abuse hurled at Chizkiyahu, beginning in verse 20. Amarta, achdvar svasayim, eitza ugvura lamelchama, ata almiba tachta ki maradita bi. You have said, but words of the lips, counsel and might are needed for war. Now on whom do you depend that you have rebelled against me? You spoke as if you are powerful. But words don't win wars. You need effective strategy and power. Radak quotes his father, who explains, you thought you could win me with your words, with your prayers? Prayers don't win wars. And he continues, did you think you could stand up to the mighty army of Ashur? You fool! Who did you depend on that you dared to rebel? In verse 21, you depended on Egypt. Well, that is like leaning on a splintered reed. Not only will you fall flat on your face, but the splinters will poke through your skin and hurt you. They are worse than useless for you. Oh, and did you think Hashem would help you? Why would he help Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu just removed all the private altars that people had made for Hashem. And just for fun, in verse 23, the generous king of Ashur is happy to gift you with 2,000 horses for your army. Well, guess what? You don't even have 2,000 soldiers to ride them. How on earth would you fight even the smallest regiment of Ashur, none of which is smaller than 2,000 soldiers? And in verse 25, the ironic anti-Semitic trope, you think I'm fighting you without the acquiescence of Hashem? Verse 25, Atah hamibaladeh Hashem alisi al hamakom hazeh lahashchiso. Hashem amar elai alei el haaretz hazos vahashchisa. And do you think I have marched against this land to destroy it without Hashem? Hashem himself told me go up against that land and destroy it. Is he making that up? There are verses in Yeshaya chapter 8, Perek Ches, that talk about Hashem sending Ashur to Eretz Yisrael to exile the 10 tribes and even to Yehuda, but the word Vahashchisa, destroy it, that Hashem never said. In verse 26, the emissaries of Yehuda beg Rav Shake. Vayomer Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu v'shevna v'yoach el Rav Shake. Daber na el avdecha aramis, ki shom imanachnu. Va'al tidaber imanu Yehudis, va'azne ha'am asher al hachoma. And they said, Eliakim the son of Chilkiyahu, Shevna and Yoach, to Rav Shake, please, speak Aramaic to your soldiers. We understand it. Don't speak Hebrew to us within the hearing of the people on the wall. Who is this Rav Shake who spoke Hebrew, who was well-versed in the prophecies of Yeshaya, who had heard about Chizkiyahu removing the private altars? Who was this Assyrian official who was so intimately aware of our private affairs? Chazal tell us that he was actually a Jew who had either been taken to Ashur or left. Sometimes our biggest enemies come from within. And his cruel answer here is, you think I'm talking to you? You think my master sent me to inform you of all of this? My target audience are those Jews listening from the wall. And yes, they should be petrified. They should be melting with fear. And now Rav Shake raises his voice and speaking in Yehudis, in Hebrew, he speaks directly to the frightened nation. Listen to the words of the great king of Ashur. Verse 29. Don't listen to Chizkiyahu. Don't believe his empty promises. He is absolutely incapable of saving you from Ashur. And in verse 30, Va'al yavtach eschem Chizkiyahu el Hashem leimor, Hatzel yatzilenu Hashem, V'lo sina seinas ha'ir hazos biyad melech Ashur. Do not let Chizkiyahu make you rely on God, saying Hashem will surely save us, and this city will not be given to the hands of Ashur's king. Don't be fools. He is leading you over a cliff. Walk away from Chizkiyahu. Face reality. You need to surrender. And if you do, you will be able to live again. Each man will eat of his vine. Each man will eat of his fig tree. Each man will drink the water of his cistern. Verse 32, until I come and take you to a land like your land, El Eretz Ka'artzachem, Eretz Dagan V'Sirosh, Eretz Lechem Uchramis, Eretz Zeis Yitzhar Udvash, V'chyu, V'lo Samusu, Va'al Tishmu'u El Chizkiyahu, Ki Asis Eschem Leimor, Hashem Yatzilenu, until I come and take you to a land like your land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil yielding olives and honey, and you will live and not die. Do not listen to Chizkiyahu, for he will mislead you, saying Hashem will save us. Interesting. He does not tell them that he will take them to a land better than their land. Rashi explains, Sheyada Sheyakiru Shedvarav Sheker. He knew he couldn't fool them. There is no land better than Eretz Yisrael. The best he could promise them was a land like their land. And in verses 33 to 35, look around you. Don't you see what is happening all around the world? The Assyrian Empire has swallowed up every country. Do you think your Hashem will save you? Aye Elohe Hamas Farpad, Aye Elohe Svarvayim, Hey Navi Iva, Kiatsilu es Shomron Miadi. Where are the gods of Hamas Arpad? Where are the gods of Svarvayim, Hena and Iva? Did they save Shomron from my hands? Mi Bechol Elohe Ha'aratosa Sharitsilu es Artsa Miadi. Who from all the gods has managed to save their land from my land, Kietzil, from my hands, Kietzil Hashem is Yerushalayim Miyadi, that you think your God will save Yerushalayim from my hands? In verse 36, the Jewish officials do not respond at all to this blasphemous and cruel tirade, as Chizkiyahu had told them not to respond. And in verse 37, our chapter concludes with their return to the palace, to Chizkiyahu, in torn clothes, not because of their fear, Chazal say, but because he had spoken so disrespectfully and blasphemously about Hashem. So our chapter is a troubling and frightening one, and also confusing. When I teach it in high school, my students always stop me here and protest. But Chizkiyahu is such a tzaddik. There's finally a righteous king. Why is this happening to him? He depended on Hashem. He trusted in Hashem. And I tell them, wait. Wait until next chapter, next perek, when we will see that this chapter is truly the backdrop for the magnificent miracle we will witness. And every year, but especially this year, when this question is asked in my classroom, I pause and quietly send my own tefillah upward. Hashem, we rely on you too. We turn to you as well. Let us see this too. Let us see this painful chapter in time that we are living through as but a backdrop to your magnificent miracles. Take us as well to our next chapter of salvation, of comfort, of joy. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sara Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.